Good afternoon. Today we are finishing the series on the Lord's Prayer. It's the last one. And basically all of these have been personal. Today we're talking about temptation. That's personal because we all have temptation. Last week we talked about forgiveness. That's personal because we all struggle with forgiveness. The week before that we talked about God providing our daily bread, which is just daily, just us having to trust on Him. And so it's, when you look through this prayer, I think there are a couple of things we need to think about in the very beginning. The first of it starts with our Father. And that is the frame, that is the guideline that we have to walk through the whole series with, is it's all about the Father. If you take the Father off of this, if we seek to forgive well without walking with the Father, it's almost impossible. If we seek to walk free of temptation without the resources of the Father, almost impossible. If we seek not to worry or be consumed about meeting our daily needs, whether it be physical or whether it be emotional or whether it be spiritual, walking separated from the Father is not possible. Everything in this prayer is wrapped up in the idea of staying near the Father. And so that's why it starts out, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." That's where we are today. Now, temptation. It's all around us. Everyone struggles with it. Everyone on the face of the planet struggles with it. Everyone in history has struggled with it. When you look in the Bible, everyone struggles with it, whether it be Moses or David or Esther, or everyone struggled. Over and over in life, we're going to come to a situation, probably multiple times on a daily basis, where we are standing at a crossroads and we got options. What are we going to do? Am I going this way or am I going this way? Now, what does yours look like? I don't really know. I have a hard enough time trying to take care of my own. Yours may be, let's say you have a past with alcohol, and so one of your temptations is alcohol, especially when life gets bad and you'd rather just forget about it for a few minutes. Maybe someone else is, it could be pride, it could be money, it could be laziness, it could be overeating, it could be anger. We got a whole long list of these things, but all of us struggle with temptation. And so we come to the scripture today, and let me just try to walk you through. Let me take you here first. Even the Apostle Paul, the most prolific writer in the New Testament, what does he say about temptation? About himself. He says, "I do not understand what I do, for what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." And so let's do this. Can we agree, you don't have to say it out loud, but can we agree today for everybody to say, "I struggle"? Just so we start there. So it's not this, "Oof, well, I hope he hears it. I hope she hears it. I hope my wife hears this one. Well, this is going to be a good one for her." No, it's here. It's here. "I do not understand what I do, for what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep doing." It is a struggle. It goes all the way back to the beginning. It's Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve sin. Sin rushes in, and because of that, all of us are enslaved to sin without Christ. And we just walk in that. Without Christ, our natural tendency is to lean. We're drawn to sinfulness. Now, those of us that have put our faith in Christ, the game has changed a little bit. We are no longer slaves. We now have an option. We no longer are slaves to sin, but at the same time, many times, we are drawn into, you could say, patterns of the flesh. What's that? Well, it's the way we used to live. It's the way before we became freedom from sin, the way we used to live is so ingrained in our hearts sometimes that we can't shake it. We can't get away from it. We just, in those moments that we don't walk close to God, what do? We revert to our old ways of living. And temptation just rises up in its full power. And so if you and I do not stay close to the Father and His resources and His protection and His provision and everything He has for us, temptation is going to come after us. And many times we will lose. Because you and I just don't have it in us. No, but I'm strong. I have willpower. Well, then that just means Satan will come the other direction. He may hit you another way. Anyway, I'll get onto that in a second. So, as we continue in this, today's verse is this: "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Now, when we look at this, "lead us not into temptation," some would say, well, am I having to pray this because sometimes he does lead me into temptation? Well, James in some ways responds, but God cannot be tempted by anyone, nor does he tempt anyone. Now, we have to walk carefully on this, because we know that when Jesus was tempted in the desert, in the wilderness, who does it say led him into the wilderness? Anybody remember? The Spirit led him into the wilderness. They're going, hey, what's going on there? Was God setting Jesus up for really difficult failure? Or, well, first of all, we need to know this. The word for temptation was also used at times for trial and also used at other times for test. It's the same word, but depending on context, depending on what the situation was. And so we need to remember that, because that's what temptation is. It's a trial and a test. A little later on, we'll see it a little more. But basically, what's happened when you and I are tempted is we are coming to a spot where you could call it's an opportunity of worship. Let me explain that. Why is temptation worship? Those don't sound anything alike. Well, let's say this. What's happening there is when you and I are presented with an option, honor God or sin and dishonor God. Whichever desire is sitting on the throne of my heart will win. That's why it's worship. In that moment when you're saying, go the legal, moral, loving direction or go the other direction, in that moment, what rules the desires of our hearts? If Christ rules the desires of our heart, if loving God and loving man is our chief desire and glorifying God is chief desire, then our worship will be exposed as worshiping God. But if in that moment I desire money or freedom or glory, or in that moment our decision will show that. Who in the world gets to worship? Who worships? I'm kind of setting you up with that question. Everybody worships. Everybody on earth worships. The question is, what or who? The people that you go to work with every day that are thinking no spiritual thoughts, they worship fully. And maybe sometimes more wholeheartedly than even we do. They're just worshiping something totally different. It could be worshiping football. It could be worshiping reputation. It could be worshiping pleasure. But everybody worships something. And so in the midst of that, what's happening? That's what, not all temptation is, because temptation is a big deal. Temptation is worship. It's a test. It's a trial. Mom and dad, your child has disobeyed you. You had explained it really clear. They know the consequences, and they chose badly. Now, they chose badly. What are you going to choose? Well, it depends. What are you worshiping in the moment? You are tempted to raise your voice to this level, show them who the boss is or the leader of the pack in this house. If in that moment you're either worshiping peace or authority or order or respect, then it will go badly. But if in that moment, somehow by the grace of God, mom or dad, you are worshiping Christ, if he is a desire of your heart, then somehow God will allow you to stop, restrain, and say, my goal, my job is to raise this child up in the ways of God. This child isn't mine in the first place. This child is God's. And I will discipline my child in a way that will express Christ, maybe God the Father, if you're a father, and somehow, yes, I want to bring my child. I mean, something will happen good in God honoring. But once it's the temptation is worship. Now, when you look at these verses we're talking about here, even Jesus being led into the wilderness by the Spirit, where he would fast for 40 days and then come face to face with Satan. What would that be for Jesus? It was going to be a very clear moment of where's his heart. Will he continue to walk with the Father? Will he continue to walk in holiness? Scripture tells us Jesus was tempted. Being tempted is not the sin. The response to the temptation could be sin. And what does Jesus do? Each time Satan comes, Jesus responds with Scripture. Comes, responds. Jesus was tempted, but God was glorified by the way he responded. It's the same for us. Now, I want us to go on today because one of the key scriptures that we're looking at is in James. Now, before we go there, let's go back one more time. When we're talking about Father, the temptation in Father, if you and I choose the sinful route, we are tempted and we choose against God and we go a different direction. As children of the Father, when we choose to go against the Father, this is literally, this is what we're saying. Father, your wisdom is not good enough. Father, your provisions are not enough. Father, you don't really know what is best for my life. Father, I don't believe you. Father, I don't have to submit to you. I can do what I want. Honestly, most of us aren't blatant enough to do that, say that out loud. But when you and I are set with a situation where this is sinful and hurtful and against God's will, and this is with God's will, and we choose badly, we just got exposed. That's my life, that's your life. It'll be like that for the rest of our lives. Until we get to heaven, sin will be around, temptation will come, and that's just what happens. And so, really, one of the biggest things that we may be guilty of in that moment may not even be the actual thing that we did. The larger sin may be the sin of unbelief. That we didn't believe how good he was. And we did not take him at his word. And we did not trust him as Savior and provider and lover of our souls. But we decided, it'd almost be like if there's a teenager in the room, don't take this personally, okay? It's almost like a teenager. That as they're growing up, mom and dad used to be the champions of the world, and now they're not really the champions that they used to be. And the teenagers are starting to listen to everybody else's opinion now, and they finally get to the point where they're just beginning to question, I don't know if dad's really right. He's a nice guy and all, but I really don't know if he's right. He's not well educated or whatever it may be. Or I don't really know if mom's right. And question marks start coming in, doubts start coming in. It's the same thing in our Christian life. When we choose to disobey at that crossroads, we're basically saying, God, I just don't believe you. I don't believe you. And that's a struggle because faith is what brought us into Christianity and faith is what carries us. And if we have a problem at the faith place, we got problems. Now, let's continue. As we go on from there, we're going to get to, I think, a really key scripture is this one in the book of James. It says, but each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Now, the beginning of this is a pretty graphic picture. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Not kind of nicely carried away, not escorted. It's dragged away. Now, when you look at this, whose fault is giving the, when we give in the temptation, whose fault is it? Don't go the direction of saying, well, Satan made me do it. The devil made me do it. That's not what this says. The only reason the only role that the devil can play is he can set the cheese on the trap because you like the cheese. It's the mouse illustration. The only reason the mouse trap works is because the mouse loves cheese. Now, what would a mouse trap look like if the mouse liked hot dogs? Well, you put a hot dog on there. The only reason the trap has any power at all is because it's our desires. The only reason temptation has any bite to it, any teeth to it, is because of our sinful, evil desires. But that's the truth of the situation. This week, when you were at work and something or someone happens and you're ready just to, I'm going to tear into them what's going on in the moment? Now, we do see anger in the scripture that was holy, but it usually didn't come out of a human. It's Jesus in the temple. It's God in the Old Testament many times. But really for us, it's desire. And many of us, whether it be image or reputation or status or authority or respect, Is there, okay, let me say it this way. Is there anything sinful about desiring freedom? Is there anything sinful about desiring provision? Is there anything sinful about desiring to belong? No. But if any of those, let's say, common desires takes the place of Christ on the throne of our heart, that now goes in that category of evil desire. Because nothing in this world is worthy to be worshipped except for God alone. And so, first of all, please don't be above it so much that you're saying, well, I'm better than they are. I don't desire to kill anybody. I don't desire to be corrupt. You and I are tempted daily on many different levels. And the way Satan works, he's not going to come with something blatant anyway. Could we see it? And so you and I have to be careful. If Christ is on the throne of our heart, then our decisions and our actions after that will play out correctly. But if he's not, then we really make a mess of things. First person experience. So as we continue this, when we look at that, but each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. That, let me just give you another example. Have any of you been fishing before? Maybe you're a fisherman, maybe you're not. When you're fishing, what do you put on the hook? Would you ever put like a plastic cup on the hook? No, because the fish isn't going to eat a plastic cup. So what do you put on the hook? Well, it depends what kind of fish you're looking for. Whether it be a live bait or whether it be some kind of lure, you're going to put something there based on the fish that you're trying to catch. Satan's going to do the same thing. Scripture talks about he is like a roaring lion seeking to devour. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He is on a march. He is on attack. You've already given your life to Christ, so he's already lost the eternal battle. But man, he's going to take as many shots as he can in the process. And what is it going to look like? It's based on our heart's desires. If our heart's desires are dominantly sinful and selfish, man, we've made it really easy for him. But the other option, even though we'll always have some portion of sinful heart, that we would just allow God to continue and continue and continue to reform us. So gradually grace would come and that desire is no longer a problem for us. And that desire is no longer a problem. Now, of course, the Spirit will reveal the other one that is the problem. I mean, it's a process for the rest of our lives. But may we walk in this in such a way that we realize the problem is us. Now, I think one of the other struggles we're going to get to is... even if we're ready to hear this today, we're going to get to the point where we say, oh, you're right. It's me. Don't worry, I'll fix myself. And so you come, you know, let's say you're really religious and you say, okay, I'm now going to start getting up at 4 a.m. and reading my Bible for 3 hours every day. I'm going to start memorizing entire chapters of Scripture on a weekly basis, which isn't a bad plan. I'm going to start, and you know, we start making this list. Okay, I'm going to knock it out, man. Willpower, I'm going to get this. And then after a week or two of, it's kind of like your New Year's resolution. You know, you don't get up at 4, you get up at 5, and then you get up at 6, and then, well, I'll do it tomorrow, or I'll just listen to the audio, or whatever it may be. I mean, and I've tried this version before. The main problem with it, even though we're passionately trying to be holy, is anything done in our power has no power. Even if in our mind our intention was good, anything that is an expression of I can do it myself is inherently flawed from the beginning, because there's no way we can fix ourselves. Now, does the fixing that God's going to do need to somehow incorporate God's word? Yes, it does. And do we need to hide God's word in our heart that we may not sin against him? Yes, we do. All of those are incorporated, but if there's anything that relies on self, the plan is done from the beginning. And so what do we do? How do we get back to the Father? If the Father is the answer to the question, because really, and let me say this and then we'll get to the explanation. I think our tendency is in our own power to go to battle with Satan in the midst of temptation. And that will never win. We will never win that. Our energy, when you look at Scripture, our energy is not to be spiritually raising our fists and ready to fight. Our energy is supposed to be used running to the Father. Just like a child, and we've said this multiple times, I'm going to say it again. It's like a child in the city sidewalk who sees a really big dog. And dad is like 10 steps behind. Now, I know we said children don't run from dogs. That's usually not a good combination. But the energy should not be, okay, dog, I'm going to get you. The kid's only 4. What is the main responsibility there? That the child gets to dad. Whose job is it to fight to handle the dog? Well, I don't know if he has to fight it, but he can figure out a way to get out of the situation. That's dad's job. And so many times you and I, we don't go the right method. We are trusting in our own ability, even though we kind of coat it and wrap it up in religion or Christian spiritual discipline, whatever thing. But we turn to the power in ourselves instead of saying, first goal, I've got to get to the Father. Because there's no way I'm going to be able to consistently defeat the pornography on the internet. There's no way I'm going to consistently defeat lust in our minds. There's no way we're going to consistently defeat pride. There's no way any of these things are going to be won by us alone. So our energy is temptation comes and it chases us to the Father. Temptation comes and it chases us to the Father. Temptation comes and it chases us to the Father. You know, in the end, who's going to hate bringing temptation to you? The evil one. Because every time he does it, what do? You run to the Father. And is that where he wants you? No. Can you imagine habitually as a spiritual person, temptation comes and it drives us deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into the arms of the Father. Because really temptation is, there's a redemptive part to it. What I mean by that is, let's say that you're going to be tempted tomorrow and you do well. God encourages, uplifts. You did it. By the grace of God, you did it. You turned it off. You walked away. You didn't hit them. You did something by the grace of God, and we are encouraged. The other option is we did hit them. Or we didn't walk away. Or we did look at something and we didn't look. But then God, through the Holy Spirit, brings conviction, and He reveals it. By Him revealing the desires of our heart that are bad, what does that allow us to do? Surrender it. You can't surrender something you don't know is there. Even the temptation is redemptive both ways. It either encourages you because of God, by the grace of God you've been held up. Or if you fail, you say, get up. First of all, the grace of God covers you. The blood of Christ covers everything. Stand up. I've exposed in your life the desire that is not right. Now come back to me. Bring to me what I've exposed in your life, and let me work it out. Now, so that leaves us one last question. Okay, you said don't fight, get back to the Father. How do we get back to the Father? Honestly, that's the biggest question of everything we've talked about probably today. How do we get back to the Father? Now, there are multiple pieces. If you go to 1 Corinthians 10, it's going to talk about the temptation that we have experienced is common to man. But God is faithful, and He'll give us a way out. So that doesn't mean we do this. Oh, it's all God. Well, it is all God. It's all God giving us a desire to be holy. It's all God moving us in the right direction, wanting us to be right. It's God humbling our hearts so we'll go back to Him. It is all God, but there's an active part for us. And there are multiple things in Scripture. And so I'm just going to tell you some things and read you some things. You don't need to remember it all. Just listen enough that if there's anything that really grabs onto your situation, that you grab it. Okay, James 5 talks about confess sin one to another, that a time of healing would come. There is something about temptation and sin that if we keep it in secret, Satan thrives. But when we bring it out into the light, God begins to work. Is there somebody in your life, or could you need to pray for somebody in your life to come alongside and you can begin to discuss in a safe place, a graceful place, man, I'm really struggling with this. Will you pray for me? I know it's kind of scary, but it's just bringing things into the light. Now, is that going to fix you? No, God fixes you. But it's just beginning to walk in the steps and the teachings of His Word to say, okay, you want to prepare the soil for righteousness and holiness in your life? This isn't fixing you. It's just preparing the soil. Find someone that you can confess sin to. I mean, we confess it to God for forgiveness, but this is just bringing it out into the light so it can be seen as it is and we can begin to move forward. That's one. Another one, like I already said, is hiding God's Word in your heart, whether that be reading it, listening to it, memorizing it. We've got to have God's Word in our lives. It purifies us. When you look in Scripture, it talks about watching and praying. That's when the disciples had fallen asleep. Do you remember that? Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is over here praying and struggling, his toughest struggle, and he comes back and the disciples are sleeping. And he says, watch and pray. Watch and pray. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we got to pray. There's got to be God's word. We need each other. There's a time for confession. There are multiple things in Scripture. Let me look back. Once again, you don't have to remember all this. You could remember that each Sunday when we do the sermons, it's written and left in the foyer. So if you're kind of going, oh, I want to remember these scriptures, just pick up one on the way out. Okay, let me just read you through some of these and then we're done. Psalm 37:4 is pretty big. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Hebrews 12:1-2 says, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And it talks about fixing your eyes on Jesus. Is there anything in your life right now that you are setting yourself up to fail because you're letting it be in your life every day? Whether it be with your computer, whether it be the magazines laying on the table in your salon, whether it be, are you setting yourself up for failure? Do you need to go home and in some ways physically clean house? You know what? These are out. I know they cost a little bit of money. Trash bag, in the trash can, they're done, they're gone. There could be somebody in your life that needs to be demoted from really good friend to periodic acquaintance. Once again, I'm not against people, but if you're looking at somebody where you know it is a really bad influence, and whenever you spend time with that person, it draws you more into sin, you just got to have to make some decisions. Throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Sometimes we got to make tough choices. Going on to others, it talks about in Proverbs 4, do not enter the path of the wicked, do not proceed in the ways of the evil man, avoid it. It talks about fleeing from sexual immorality. It talks about resisting the devil and he will flee from you. There are just various things in Scripture that God has given us to prepare this soil for the coming holiness, but the only one that fixes our heart is God. So we're going to do this. We're going to read two scriptures and I'm going to pray and we're going to be finished. But I'd like you to read them both with me. Okay? I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. Today, if you're needing one thing, it could be this. If you're struggling with temptation and your heart is just not there, tell Him, cry out that God would move in your heart to give you the desire for Him and for holiness. Put it in, we'd say, in His court. Give it to Him. Cry out, beg, surrender, and let Him begin to do the miracle in our hearts. Let's pray. Father, we come before You today knowing that temptations are numerous. They don't stop coming. At times they are dominant, Father, in ways that we can't even see past them or imagine a day that we don't struggle with them. But Father, we just pray that You would do a miracle in our hearts, Father, in our perspectives, that Father, You would convict, that You would expose. But Father, You would begin to work deeply in our hearts and move in the area of desires, that the things of this world would begin to lose their hold and even their interest, Father, that we would begin to lose desires for the things of the world, and You would give us affections for the things of God. And so, Lord, you know every one of our situations. You know what we need. You know how Satan is coming against us. You know how at times we're setting up our lives in ways that even prepare the way for temptation. And so, Lord, we're just praying today, free us. Set us free. You are Father. We just pray that you would come alongside and fight the fight for us, that we could be set free. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.